Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here once again this week with the one and only, the strangely beautiful, with the hypnotic voice, Antoine Bergeron. Okay, I'm tired and desperate for like clever talk. Okay, so
yeah,
for witty naming, I'm too tired, Antoine. Just go with it.
You went far this time.
Yeah, well, when you're tired is when you say the craziest stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what Durden said. That's where we are the most entertaining.
That's true. We're the most entertaining when we're exhausted.
We are. Yeah. The better show is.
Well, this should be an excellent show.
Yes.
Stay tuned, folks. Paul's had no sleep. As we say in French, attache ta tuque.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bumpy ride. How's it going, Antoine?
It's going well.
Excellent, excellent.
We're coming back from a long weekend, so it was long weekend with families are not vacations.
Yeah. Anytime
but it was
you spend
still
a,
good.
Yeah. Anytime you spend a long weekend with family, it is long.
Yeah.
I go wrong. I love my family. They're phenomenal people. I mean, without them, I wouldn't exist. So they did something good for the world. But it can be trying. Yeah. It can be trying. But yeah, I had a weekend filled with ham and maple syrup. So life can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Well, we are French Canadian, right? So maple syrup and ham on Easter is kind of mandatory.
Yeah, I didn't eat any of those.
Well,
I cooked an ham, but okay. I didn't eat it.
Did you at least have some? What was I going to say? Creton or something, like something French Canadian? Come on, you gotta.
There was so much food that I didn't eat.
Tortilla,
everything.
Something?
No, anything? No, there was. Well, I did. I didn't eat a lot that day.
Tortilla is meat pie for our Anglo listeners.
No, yeah. No, just bacon, sausage, regular stuff.
Okay, that's still good. Yeah. Was there syrup involved?
No. There was syrup, but not involved with my plate. I don't put syrup on many things.
I'm not a big syrup on meat person.
Not
I've
me
had
either.
It before, you know.
Yeah.
Like syrup on pretty much everything else.
Any sweet with meat is not really my style.
Syrup on fresh bread? Like dipping fresh bread with butter and syrup?
Yes. That is fine.
Yeah.
But not with meat.
Yeah, there may have been a little of that, I'm just going to say. I may have also put maple syrup. We have this dessert my mother makes that I have no idea what it's called in English, but we always call it pet dessert.
Yeah.
So translates to nun's farts.
Yeah, but yeah. They're like tiny bread rolls.
Well, it's pie crust essentially that you roll out.
Yeah,
and you cover with butter and brown sugar,
mm-hmm.
and then you roll it like a rolled cake, and you slice it, and then you
put they're crust rolls instead of bread rolls.
Yeah, yeah, and then you the kind of like the way you make a cinnamon roll, right? You roll it up, and you slice it, and then you put it in a pan with a little bit of hot water in the bottom. And you bake it until the sugar liquefies and the mixes
and
with the water.
Yeah, and crunchy and crispy.
Well, we don't cook them that long. We like the corn more the gooey, like deliciousness. Yes. And then I may have added some extra sugar, a la maple syrup.
On top of it.
Well, if you're going to go diabetic, go whole hog, right? So this is no longer a hobby podcast. This is how Paul got fat podcast. Anyway, so it was delicious. It was delicious.
Yeah, the food was good where I was. I just has been running on a angry stomach for the past week, so I couldn't eat that much.
Upset stomach.
Yeah, he was angry too.
Okay, he upgraded.
But yeah, upset was the right word.
He was past upset. He was angry. That's awesome. You know, I had something super clever I was going to say before we get to the topic. I don't remember what it was. So I guess it wasn't that clever. Hey, what you working on tonight?
Infinity.
Still in that commission, eh?
Yeah.
The Hackaslam?
Yes. I have two done. And the other two are all base coated and washed, so I'm at the shading and detail level. So
I considered, because I walked into my, call it my storage room, for lack of a better term, and I happened to notice my Infinity model sitting on the shelf in their half-painted state. And for a brief second, I was like, hey, I could do some Infinity tonight, like Antoine. And then I remembered I'd have to actually clean my desk and make a place to work. And then I was like, oh, that sounds like way too much effort after the week I've had so far. So I'm consequently staring at a lot of half-done stuff on my desk and not working on anything.
Oh.
But I'm plotting my course. I'm planning. Like, so I know exactly what order I'm going to do all this crap in. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It would make for a more concise recording for us.
Yep.
But as we skip the silence, it won't matter for the listeners.
Yeah, and I don't know what the meaning concise is. I ramble too much. My hobby for the week, I painted a 150mm base. I half painted, actually. It's not done. Because I was working on Ferris, right? But I got to a point where I can't really finish her, because she's not on a cork or anything. I need to base her to get to finish doing the work on her, so I can put it into a handle and paint. Because I use the GW handles that grab the edge of the bases.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I guess I better paint that base, because I don't want to try to paint a base under a horse. Because I have these resin MicroArt Studio bases.
Mm-hmm.
And I got most of the painting part done. I just have to do some washes and some pigments and stuff, and a little bit of dry brushing.
What I did for the 50mm base for the Judgment model for Chrome, I just blue-tacked it to a smaller base and put that in the older.
Right, that would work, but Ferris isn't on a base at all.
No, I mean just for your base, so for the rim of it. Because that's my problem with the base holders. When you want to finish the rim outside, there's a mark from the where the holder is
open. Oh, well, I do the...
I thought you were talking about.
No, I do the rim last, right?
Oh, so okay, yeah.
It's just that in order to paint, like I'm at the point where I'm painting details, mm-hmm. so I don't want to be handling the model with my bare hands, because that's how I painted it thus far, with like giant man paws all over it. So, yeah, to prevent an absolute disaster from happening, I need to get her on a base and get her into a handle. Don't paint like this at home, kids. So, yeah. So I got her base half painted, and that was about all the energy I had. You know, no one told me that having children would take pretty much all of my energy.
I'm surprised they didn't tell you that. That's the main thing.
Well, you know, Antoine, I blame you, because you never really warned me.
Sure. Sure.
Actually, at the time, you only had one. And when I only had one, it was okay.
It was better.
Yeah. Well, my one was a little bit calmer than your one at the same ages, so I thought I had it made, and I thought I could totally do two.
Yeah, but I had my second before you, and you knew how it was at that time.
Well, yeah, but I figured, well, it's because his eldest is a bit of a handful, right? So I'm like,
mm-hmm.
My eldest is like super chill. It'll be fine. And then the terrible twos happened, but they happened when she was like 3.5, 4.
Yeah, it's happening like, right now for my 8-year-old. So
yeah, I was like, oh no, yeah. And of course, my son is 2, and his terrible twos started when he was 2, because you know he's on time. And every time he does something, my wife looks at me and goes, "And you wanted a boy?" Like it's some sort of genetic thing that makes him, you know.
Yeah, naughty. Like it makes it better or worse.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. She's like, well, this is what boys are all like. I'm like, how would you know? Your brothers were all older than you by several years, so you don't remember them being 2 and 3. Yeah. We don't know anyone that had kids that age that was terrible. Everyone we know who had kids that age that were boys, their boys were fantastic. So I think she's just making it up. Yeah, she's doing that whole cliche thing of when the kids are bad, they're my kids. When they're good, they're her kids.
Mm.
All right. Let's see what else I do this week. Oh, so our buddy Chris got me a zip file full of proxy bases. That's pretty awesome. because there are proxy bases with the Guild Ball team logos on all of them. So, like, for themed proxies. So I think that's pretty cool. And he's kind of insane because he sent me 51 bases at once. Because he did them all. Not just the teams we actually play, but all of them. For he is insane. But I'm glad he's on our side.
Yeah. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. It was funny because we talked about proxies last week. And there was some question as to how accurate my 3D printer would produce them.
Yeah.
And on the larger bases, like the 40 and 50, I'm like 0.05 millimeters out. And on the 30 mil, I'm 0.01 millimeters out.
So it's better than the other proxies we have.
Sorry, it's 0.1 millimeter out. Yeah. I looked at that, I'm like, that's probably close enough. Like, so long as Steve never finds out. Of course, now I've ruined it because he's going to listen to the cast and know.
Yeah, but aren't the other one we have are
more worse? They're noticeably farther out than that.
Yeah,
even our measuring sticks that we bought that we paid, you know, money for from someone for laser cut acrylic are more out than that, which I think is hilarious. And always, listen, I understand the whole point of the proxy is to try to make a cleaner game, but really, even the proxy base we were looking at that had a bigger margin of error than mine do, what difference does it make? When you place that proxy base, you're never going to be 100% right. And the 1 millimeter is likely not going to change anything. Especially in the way we bump models all over the place, or we shake the table. And if you're playing with Yom, I mean, you could probably make a proxy base the size of a hockey puck for a 30 mil, and it wouldn't matter. So, that was good the way I slid that in there, right?
Yeah. You've been slacking during the last episode, so.
I'm tired, so no holds barred. Yom has a rep. Mostly undeserved, but, you know. And mostly just in my imagination. But that's okay. I'm going to rag on him for it anyway. I don't think proxy bases need to be that close. Even measuring sticks, right? I think what's more important is to be consistent. So if you're always using the same measuring sticks throughout the whole game, I don't think it really matters if one's, you know, half a millimeter longer than the other guys.
Yeah. Like you said, if you're consistent, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading a post. I'm all over the place. We're like, what, 10 minutes in? This is crazy. I was reading a post about War Machine this week, and someone was talking about how, you know, we play this game to play a precise, clean game that's, you know, and there's no such thing. If you want a precise game, play a game with a grid.
Yeah.
Play Battletech.
Or something.
Yeah, where it's all digital and, like, perfectly controlled. Play with the Vassal or whatever. Because as soon as you get models on a table, it's never going to be super precise. You try your best, you make it as clean as you can, but seriously. I think some people just, I don't want to say take it too seriously, because, you know, it's a lot of money and it's a time investment, and it should be taken seriously. But, jeebus, it's a game. It's not like you're going to win any money for being best War Machine player or best Guild Ball player in the world. You don't even really get recognition. Aside from, like, you know, the very small niche group that follows it. Speaking of best player in the world, did you check out the Bird Bots Challenge?
Nope. I heard you and Steve talk about it, but yeah. I didn't watch it.
I wouldn't necessarily watch the whole thing, because watching someone play a game of Guild Ball by video tends to be fairly boring anyway. Vince Kirkov for Run the Length did this thing where they blindfolded Alex Botts, who is one of the best Guild Ball players in the world, and had him play. They blindfolded him after the kickoff, right? So he knew where the ball landed, and after deployment, of course. And so he played the whole game against a Navigators player, blindfolded. He had someone else there that was doing the mechanics for him, but he had to try to remember where everyone was on the board. And just do everything, like, with the mind's eye. And he actually lost track of his players. Like, there was players who just had no idea. Like, Boiler was just, like, off in the wilderness on an errand or something. He didn't know where he was for, like, most of the game. It was super funny. Yeah, it was an entertaining watch. To be honest, I kind of only skipped through to watch Botsa's turns, because the more entertaining part of the broadcast was, of course, the blindfold guy trying to figure out how to play.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Guild Ball or like odd things like that, odd gaming things, it's worth watching.
I'll and try I guess to remember it. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't watch really any reports or anything video online. So
neither.
But neither that's, do I. That's special. So
yeah, I don't watch battle reports either, because it makes me sad. To be honest, I don't find them bad or not entertaining, but they make me sad. Because I would much rather be playing a game than watching someone else play a game.
Yeah, me too.
And the fact that my schedule basically hasn't let me play much in the last 4 or 5 months, it depresses me to watch other people getting in, you know, I recorded 4 games this week. Yeah, well, screw you. I mean, it's actually, you know, I had Captain Con, which was a crazy lot of games. I've never lost so spectacularly in my life. And then we played, I played a few games at Adepticon, which was fun, but all my casual games seem to fall through lately, like my scheduling's just not good during the week. Or my schedule conflicts with, like my gaming nights conflict with my wife's schedule, and since one of us has to be here for the kids, and she doesn't really go out much, I kind of defer to her. Because, you know, I get to go out a lot more than she does.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all that to say, it just makes me sad. I guess I'll talk about my one game, then we'll go for your stuff. Because sure. I think I cut you off before you could even talk about your hobby and stuff. Yeah, so I played a game of Guild Ball against Steve, my arch nemesis. I'll go into detail, because who knows, we're going to record a Guild Ball cast. I played my fisherman versus... Wait, what was he playing? He was playing Morticians. Yeah, Scalpel. And it was a super good game. I made him mad several times. As, you know, fishermen tend to be janky and high maneuverability and tons of 2-inch reach models. So I penned him in a lot and I irritated him good. I still lost, but it was a pretty close game. I led for most of the game, but I just couldn't close it. I had a bunch of failed rolls and stuff and things just didn't work out for me.
Well, you almost made it on your last attempt.
Yep, yep. There was, yeah. And I died that activation because of the clock.
Yep.
Yeah. But I had a few goal attempts that were kind of like that, where I flubbed due to dice. You know, weird pass failures, and it happens. Dice is part of the game. It's what makes it random and fun. Super cool game. Always fun to play Steve, and I hadn't played him. I can't remember the last time I played him. Probably in a tournament that he ran in, like, January.
Oh, wow.
Or December. Yeah, like, it had been forever. So it was super cool to play some Guild Ball with Steve. And that is that for my gaming for last week. Antoine, enlighten us with your hobby in gaming.
Yeah, the list isn't that long either.
But can you ramble for 50 minutes while talking about two things?
It depends how long and how much derailing we do.
Okay. So we're 20 minutes in, and we've delivered no content yet. See, that's how we know we're quality producers.
Yep. I finished my sculpting commission, the project that I can't really talk about, but the main model and the two arms, because there's an arm swap that I need to I needed to prepare. So both have been done, and I filmed a small 360 video earlier, sent that to the client, and... It should, if nothing else needs to be changed, it's going to leave this week, and it's going to be done. Nice. And behind me.
I like the fact that you mention, every time you mention it, you talk about it's a project you can't talk about, and then you talk about it on a podcast.
Yeah, but I don't mention what it is. So.
Yeah, you're super vague. It's like vague booking, but in podcast form.
Yeah.
No, but you always mention you can't talk about it, but then you proceed to tell us that you're doing it, but you can't talk about it. It's kind of funny.
I can talk about what it is, but...
I understand the context. Yeah. Like, I totally get it. I still find it amusing.
Yeah. I used more different putties than I planned at first. That's something I would probably try again next time. because of the different parts and needing the, I didn't plan the armature right for some things. So I had to bake it and use plastic art to reinforce the part for, because I needed a straight edge. And it was easier with plastic art than trying to do it in other putties.
Right.
Or baking it because the part was thin would probably have been bad. So as the miniature is not going to be vulcanized, it's going to be molded in resin first. So it was fine to use plastic art.
Right.
But in the end, I have beast body, green stuff, and brown stuff on the same miniature.
Brown stuff is higher density than green stuff, right?
Like yeah, it's and it's fileable, easier to file, and it keeps its edge. So I use that for the two weapons. Because one, at least one of the weapons needed a sharp edge, and it was easier to do it that way.
Most weapons need to have at least one sharp edge to be effective, yes.
Well, it could be pointy.
That's still sharp. I guess it could be a club. Baseball bats aren't really sharp.
Yeah.
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 Unless you hammer nails through them, in which case they become sharp. But are they truly baseball bats at that point? I think not.
No, it's not the same thing anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a modern Morningstar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this one is done. I've not worked on the witch, but I look forward to finishing the witch.
Well, if you could stop tearing bits off its face, it would be...
Yeah, the face is holding for now, and hopefully I'll be able to finish the beak and finish the eyes. That's all I have to do. But now that I have a new pin and a new face and a stronger base for it, I think next time I work on it, I might be able to finish it. So that's cool. And I've already mentioned that I've been I'm painting... Infinity right now, but that's what I did. I finished the first two member and finished the bases. So all the four bases are done. I have a sniper and a guy with a boarding shotgun. Or no, the chain rifles. A chain rifle done. Mm-hmm. And right now, what I'm painting right now is a girl with a boarding shotgun. And I have a limited edition model that looks a bit like a Christmas model. Almost. The girl in a short dress with a sword and a pistol.
Sounds like my favorite type of woman.
Yeah, so they're fun to work on. They're tiny.
Well, they're Infinity.
Well, they're not tiny, but they have tiny details.
Saying they're tiny is kind of like saying the Earth is round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not so clear for...
Well, okay. Let's leave them out of it.
Yeah.
Let's leave them out of it, please.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think they exist. I think they're just trolling everyone.
Yeah,
I'm hoping.
It's starting to be a lot of trolls, though.
Well, I've been on the internet. There are a lot of trolls.
Oh, yeah, that's possible. I hope it's true.
Yeah, it's all one big, like, joke where they're just, yeah. They have secret Facebook groups where they talk about how stupid, like, other people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And how riled they get people. Here's open. Here's open.
Yeah.
I know I'm hoping in vain, but... I've got a hope.
I really hope. I really hope so. But, yeah. So that's it for my hobby. The other thing hobby related that I did is mainly me, but Paul helped once in a while of the Club Chaos, which was our gaming club here, and we were running events. Over the 8 years we've run events, we accumulated a lot of stuff. And we have mostly dismembered the club now, but we still have all that inventory. So I have finally finished listing everything, taking pictures, and the list is off to the first person that mentioned interest. And after that, we'll see if we publish the list officially. We have... miniatures, painted miniature samples, with extra books, terrain, gaming surface. We have a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So that took a lot of time, and it's also taking a lot of space.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it kind of claimed your gaming room at your house and your storage room and like a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So I'm looking at all the boxes I've been regrouped, and we've cleaned what we are keeping versus what we want to sell. So now I have really neat piles of what what is going to stay, or what is going to all other members of the club, and what is really leaving. So now it's clean and separated. So we just need to wait and see what is bought and what is just going to go, I don't know, to
public auction.
Yeah, a school club or whatever.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, the point is to get it more to a good home than instead of the trash, right?
Yes, exactly. It's not like we need the money. The club, when it ran its events, was able to reimburse itself for everything we created. So
yeah,
it's just so that
it's not a matter of recouping loss. It's just not wasting it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify that I did absolutely nothing for the club. I unloaded some boxes a couple times and I helped pick up a couple times. But saying I was involved in the club is a real stretch there, buddy.
You I appreciate some it. Promotion. Like, you talk with sponsors with us. You got us sponsors multiple times. Yeah. And we planned the Color Tourmont too. So.
You guys did all the work. I was along for the ride.
You still helped a bit. That's all. So that's been ongoing for months, really.
Yeah.
So
we talked about that last fall.
Yeah. Right? But now it's done,
or even last summer.
So the pile at least is no longer in my gaming room. So the gaming room is a lot cleaner. So, and finally, I'll be able to finish unpacking some boxes from my move because I didn't have space for it.
Well, and you've lived in that house
4 years,
5 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
Because you moved there just before Juliet was born, right?
Yeah. So we're going on 5, like, this year.
Crazy how time flies, eh?
Yeah,
I still have boxes from 4 moves ago, still packed. I saw some the other day, and I'm like, wow, I should really like chuck that stuff. Because if I haven't looked at it in this many years,
it's been
18 years packed in a box, right? Like, I'm sure I'll be excited when I open it up and find out what's in there. You know,
probably my collection of cassette tapes or something. That's from 2 or 3 moves ago. But it's like old souvenirs for my wife. Like, we'll open the box and she'll want to keep it anyway. So,
well, I found a box with like old D&D characters from high school and stuff.
Oh wow, that's bad.
You know, like this is my first D&D character I ever made.
Oh wow, I don't have that anymore for sure.
I shouldn't have that, right? Anyway. Is what it is.
That took some time, but I'm really happy it happened. I did some more hobby, but it was not my regular hobby. I did some terrain building with my son during the weekend.
Oh, cool.
For one of the days, my wife worked, and my daughter had a sleepover at her grandma.
Okay.
So I had the day with only Theodore, my oldest. So we did some hobbying. So the house I did for an aerial, I sculpted the roof and stuff. And
the treehouse.
When he saw me working on that, he wanted to do one too. That's months ago. But we stopped the project there. And so we've continued working on it yesterday. And we've assembled the tanks and the boats I got from the Adepticon swag bag too.
Oh, the...
The tank for tanks and the two boats for cruel seas.
You got two boats?
Yeah, well, there are two boats on the
spring. Oh, I thought that was only... Okay. I thought that was only one boat on there.
We might not have all the same sprue. I don't know.
Cruel seas, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I saw that and I was like, that looks kind of cool. But like, you know, I didn't know who even made it. It's Warlord. I had no idea.
Yeah, so we did some hobby together, starting to show him how to clip, and then did the cleanup because he didn't clip the piece close enough to the sprue. So did some hobby knife cleaning afterward. But it was fun. And that's it for real now. Game-wise, at the same time you had your game with Steve, we had a small gaming evening. And I played a game with a new opponent for me, Marco. He's been into Guild Ball super recently. It's like 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. But just in that time, he had over 10 games, which is more than I had in the whole year up to now. But still, he was still learning some stuff, so I went with my basic butchers just to have it simple for me and simple as a game plan for him, too. He knew exactly what my guys were doing. And it was fun. It was an interesting game. He was playing engineers, which is not an easy guild to start with, I find. I think they're super rewarding, but they are harder to unlock than, let's say, just butchers. Butchers are super simple. Like,
I cut them in half.
Yeah, I have a really good win ratio with them, but I don't think I have that much merit. I think the guild itself is helping a lot.
Well, let's be fair, Antoine. I think you're also an experienced wargamer who's better than average at most games he plays. So,
yeah. But that's probably helping on top of it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. And I got my second Motherborn game out with Theodore. So we played a game of Ticket to Ride. He's been bugging me for a long time about the game with trains. Because he just saw the sides. He had a big trains focus 2 or 3 years ago, but back then he was too young to play it.
Yeah.
But
8 is probably about right, isn't it?
And it's the age on the box. So even with his attention deficit, he was able to finish the game and concentrate on it. We played with the ticket open, so I could help him with the roads and stuff like that.
Yep.
But even with that, he still was able to win. So it was a close game. It was fun. So it's two Motherborn games we've been playing together recently. And I didn't think he was ready yet for those. I didn't think you could keep interest long enough. But it seems like it's the case. So I'll try to go with other games I have. The main thing that's might be problematic is a lot of my games are in English.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get just those that don't have too much reading required.
Right.
Or those that I have in French, like Ticket to Ride, I have the French version. But
It like, what matter. About Super Dungeon? Like, something like Super Dungeon is not that much to do, right? The stuff's easy to explain. Like, yes, the items might have English names.
Yeah,
but they just add dice pools, right?
I want to get it out. I'll probably just try to. I know the arcade rules, the newer arcade rules from their most recent Kickstarters, I think they are online. Mm-hmm. So that's the cooperative version. But I never played the co-op version. So, but I think it would be.
You mean cooperative against like an AI?
Yeah, right? Yeah. So there's
supposed to have a dungeon master.
Yeah, instead of a group versus master.
Yeah. So which is good, because if you crushed your son's soul, that'd be tough. Because I remember what it's like to play with you as the master.
Yeah, that's been mentioned multiple times. So yeah, but yeah. I think it would be fun to play it. So that one is mentioned interest in it. We've played Hero Quest, which has a similar feel.
Yeah.
But
the models are a lot less cute.
Yeah, a lot less. So I would like to get Super Dungeon out, but first I'll need to find those arcade rules and just know how to play them.
Yeah, I don't think it's super complex.
They were a bit more involved than HeroQuest, so that's why I went with that, and it was more accessible, and I knew it was I could fudge it faster, worst case. So, but yeah, it's one he's mentioned to us looking at the pile of games. I'm looking Space forward Hulk. To that. More games.
Space Hulk, Antoine.
I don't have that one.
I got a copy, Antoine. Pass you Space Hulk. You can teach him how to kill alien bugs.
I have Dreadfleet, though. That might be fun with him. But it's in
English. That's in English. That's all based on the cards, though, isn't it, Dreadfleet? It's all about cards.
Yeah, I think so. And like, I think all the special effects, like for damage, they're all reading.
I think so, too. So maybe that's not such a great idea.
But I do have Manowar, and that one is in French. I just need to finish painting my Uncharted Seas Human, and I'm good to
play that game. You know what would be good? As if you still had... do you remember that there was a game where you, Pirates of the Spanish Main.
Yeah, I have it, but it's all in English too.
But was there a lot on there?
The characters had special.
Okay.
But you don't have to play with the characters.
I don't remember any characters. The boats.
You can only play the boats if you want. The characters have special rules, but we could skip those.
Yeah. They came with the little tiny dice. The itty bitty dice.
Yeah, yeah. I have that box somewhere. So I could get those.
Box?
Out. Yeah.
You put them in a box. You bought that many? I don't know what happened to mine.
Oh, it's a shoebox. It's not a big box.
Yeah. Well, still, it's a lot of boats in a shoebox. But that was a cool game, right? You buy the blister pack and you assemble the plastic card boat.
I liked it. It was... We played it. Yom played it too. He had a bunch of ships. But we didn't get enough for it to be balanced and have enough selection. So, so we bought into it more than just starters, but not far enough into it to have like a level playing field.
Right.
So we stopped playing because of that too. And just always buying new ships.
Always buying new miniatures. Oh my God. What a terrible thing that would be.
Yeah, but it's random.
Yeah, that was the problem, right?
Yeah.
But that was also part of the fun.
That's not something like all the collectible games. Like, that's why I stopped playing Monster Apocalypse, because I love the game. And I really liked it, but buying models randomly just got me out of it.
Maybe we should look at the new one.
Yeah, and the commentary about it are good. However, it's a bigger scale game. You need the base games. You should play with two monsters now. So you need more stuff.
But at least you're getting what you want, right? So it's not randomly.
Yes, for sure. So yeah, that's one. It's more of a budget thing. Not getting Monster Apocalypse right now than intention.
Well, hopefully, Privateer Press stays around long enough for us to be able to play the game a little bit later.
Yeah. Hopefully. So that's it for my games.
Okay. So this week's main topic, we were kind of what's the expression? Spitballing some stuff back and forth. I was gonna say snowballing, but that's something.
That's not the same thing.
Hey, I'm not even gonna go there. Okay. So we were talking about this back and forth, and we were actually laughing at me, I think. Because I was talking about how I've been watching a Gundam anime about people building Gundam models, and how it had made me want to go out and buy a bunch of Gundam models to assemble and paint.
I don't think that came first or the movie I watched. But yeah, that's the main gist of it.
So then we start talking about, movies or TV shows, or let's say media influence, that made us want to paint or go out and buy into a game, just because we get carried along with the theme.
Super easy, especially for us. We play so many genre and style.
We're just looking for an excuse to buy miniatures, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. That's really what it boils down to. We're just looking for any reason to buy in, and we're there.
Yeah.
And I'll go first, because, I'm very good at spending money I don't have. So recently, I've been home on Fridays, so I don't work on Fridays, and to pass the time, I've been doing hobby, and to pass the TV background noise while I'm hobbying, I've been watching movies.
Oh, and that's not what where I wanted you to go. There during the day, I was almost hoping you were watching, like, soaps.
Oh, okay. No. And so a few weeks ago, I started watching Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And then I watched Two Towers, of course. Yeah. I haven't watched Return of the King yet. And, I got to Two Towers and the attack on
Helm's Deep,
where the elves show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, elves are cool. And then I remembered that whole Wood Elf Warhammer Fantasy army I have in a box.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should pull those out and, like, speed paint slash, you know, well, basically speed paint a whole Warhammer army. And then it dawned on me, and I came very close to going there, because the army's all packed up to be put for sale, because it's mostly new in box. And I ran in that room, and I started going through to see what I had, because, of course, I hadn't looked at it in months. And then it kind of hit me, like, wait a minute. I shouldn't be doing this, because, one, I've got a High Elf army and a Warhammer Chaos army that I've never, ever, that are fully painted, that I haven't played in, like, 3 years or 4 years. Two, Warhammer Fantasy is a dead game. And if we're going to try Ninth Age or whatever,
might as well try it with something you already have.
Have painted and assembled, yeah. Three, my wife would kill me. Like, yeah. Flat out murderize me. I'm not spending any more money. It's all money I've spent years ago, before I met her even. But it's still, like, unnecessary.
Yeah, but then you could almost have used them as Wood Elves for Lord of the Ring. And by happenstance, I do have a Rohirrim army and an Isengard army, so we could play Helm's Deep.
Yeah, except the scale's wrong, and the Lord of the Rings models look better. So, not to say I didn't consider that, because I totally, totally did. I think that if I was going to do that, I'd rather just buy an army in the right scale, and the right models. The other reason being that I'm thinking about going to
Nova.
Oh my! Sorry, I'm on the GW page and something's caught my eye. There apparently is new buildings for Adeptus Titanicus.
Oh
yeah. Anyway, yeah. So because I'm going to Nova, Nova has a huge Warhammer Fantasy thing that goes on there.
Like the old Warhammer Fantasy?
I say Warhammer Fantasy. Lord of the Rings. They have a huge Lord of the Rings community that goes there to play.
Mm.
And it's it is pretty amazing, the stuff that happens there.
Yeah, I saw some pictures from last year. The tables look amazing. I really love how they make the team come out more than a lot of other miniature games.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not like we have not talked about Lord of the Rings in the past few months, so.
Oh no, there's been a lot of Lord of the Rings talking, and super tempted.
If it wasn't for $270 or more books, just to start looking at it, I think I would already jumped in.
You know, what's holding me back is that there's nothing for it that is not a web exclusive from GW.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I'd have to pay full price. And paying full price hurts me. It touches me in a bad spot. I can point out in the doll where GW touched me. And
that's in your pockets.
Yeah. Well, actually, apparently, Great Eagles and the Fellowship of the Ring are not.
They're not story web stories to see.
Yeah, and so is Gandalf the White and Peregrin too. Like, those are not web exclusive. At least they say they're not on the website, but I bet you I couldn't order them if I tried direct. Anyway, I'll say it makes me sad. Like, there's this cool box called Warriors of the Last Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where it's like Warriors, I think of Minas Tirith, and Elven Warriors with those weird sword halberdy things and some archers and stuff. And it looks really cool. It's actually not that expensive. It's only $50.
Yeah, that's one of the original books, if I remember correctly, when they got the line out. That game would be fun. It's easy to do a campaign or just do scenario plays.
How many models do I get? 24 models for $50. I should probably resist. Antoine, you're a bad influence on me.
That's not the first time you've said that.
Well, it won't be the last either, because it's still true.
Mm.
So you go. Okay. Something of yours that's...
I'll mention the one we've already talked about outside of the show. I've watched Aquaman this past weekend. And at first, during the when they first go under the sea and you get to Atlantis, like, I had so much of a Deep Wars vibe. Like, I've already started painting it. I've collected the models just because of the setting. And that movie makes Underwater Comes to Life. And that was... It just got me wanting to play it more. And after that, when they... Further into the movie, they go to, like, an Earth's core natural place that looks like the Shadow Sea setting by the same company. So that... That makes the same vibes go on. And just looking at the creatures, it almost made me want to start looking at the Deepkins for Age of Sigmar and maybe try out Age of Sigmar again. So,
those are super cool looking models.
I like their creatures. I don't like the troopers.
For the Deepkin?
Yeah. But I've not looked into them that much, and there's always conversions. So,
wait, am I thinking of the wrong? Wait, you're talking about the Age of Sigmar guys? We said that.
Yes,
the...
yes.
Okay, are they called Deepkin?
Isn't it that their name?
Oh, Idaneth. Yeah, Idaneth Deepkin.
Idaneth Deepkin. Yes.
The deep sea elves or whatever they are.
Yeah,
I think a lot of them are super cool looking.
Yeah, so makes me want to. Go buy more plastic aquarium plants.
Yeah, well, you got the boat, right?
I get the boat, and I have like a full box of aquarium plants right now already. I just need to assemble them base, build up some... how do you say the bottom of the sea? There's the ground part.
Is the name silt?
No. I don't know. There's a word on the tip of my tongue, but I don't find it. But, like, build a reef, and the terrain's already bought for Deep War. The demo board they have is amazing, so just reproducing something like that would already be good.
Are we going to play the soundtrack of Little Mermaid when we play? Under the Sea.
If Steve plays, that's what he's going to do. If we play, I don't think we'll do that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, on a similar vein,
yeah.
I recently have been watching a lot of superhero movies, and it's totally psyched me to play Pulp City.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I spontaneously bought a bunch of models a while back, just before the web store closed down, before they shuttered their doors. And they arrived last week. And it was everything I could do to not just put everything I'm working on aside and start those. Because I'm trying desperately not to do that. Because then stuff just won't get done. So I want to at least finish the model. Like, I don't have to finish all my blacksmith models. I at least have to finish the two I'm working on. And I have to finish the two judgment figures I'm working on. That's my goal. And then I can do my Pulp City.
Yeah, it's a good thing I had two commissions going right now because I would be jumping so hard from project to project. I've been in a... Since maybe February, in a miniature lull, I didn't really have a project I wanted to work on. But... And it was even worsened by missing Adepticon. But in the past week or two, that has gone away. And I want to work on everything.
Yeah, and there's even like my Space Marine army I want to work on, even though I'm never going to play that game.
Yeah. Which superhero movie in particular? Was that something specific, or?
Oh, I've been watching all kinds of stuff. But I watched Shazam in the theaters.
Yeah.
And it was so kind of campy, silly, whatever, for a lot of it, that just made me think of Pulp City.
Yeah,
it's, I don't know. That superhero genre, right? You just makes you want to do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I got so much. I'm really looking forward to either you or Yomf finally painting your stuff and getting games in of that. I get more terrain for it, get more models, new vehicles for to throw at people.
Well, I'll tell you what, Antoine. I'll make you a deal. That,
sure.
By the time East Canadian Nationals rolls around, I'll have my whole team painted.
Okay. That's so just in 6 weeks, right?
I know. I don't want to make it too far out. I don't want to make it wait forever. Now I've given myself a deadline, so...
Yeah, and isn't it a short deadline with everything you have in your life for the next 6 weeks?
It's okay. I can do it.
Okay.
I have an airbrush. It's all good.
If you say so. For me, the next one is not the same. That one didn't go to a specific game, but more of a genre. And it's more terrain than game. But I remember when I watched 47 Run-Ins, the feel of the scenery and the backgrounds and everything just made me want to build terrain for Bushido or Kenshai or like even other just Japanese inspired or even just a bit related games, anything with that fantastic Eastern genre. But the movie was what it was, that's fine. But the shots, I find it was, the visual was super inspiring.
Yeah, I never saw it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I tried Bushido with you at Gen Con, I think it was.
Yes.
And found the system to be excellent.
It was fun.
But it's just, it's so hard. We play so many games, like realistically. Like you gotta draw a line somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And then we drew the line on that one. It's sad sometimes, but that's fine.
But it's a very thin line. We could, you know, erase it.
Yeah, the only reason I think we didn't get into it is we were not sold on a specific faction yet. Or the faction we were sold on, they didn't have the minis available at Gen Con.
And you got the book, right? You got the rule book, if I recall correctly.
Yes, I have.
Because you were going to read that on the plane on the way back, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I did.
Of course you did.
It was finished by before coming back to Montreal.
Crazy. Okay, I got to close the Games Workshop website that's open in front of me. Because even though I'm not, like... I'm not looking at it, but they keep like, look at this now. Oh, yeah, look at this. Look at these models. I'm like, wow, that's a nice model. Wow, those are nice. Wow. Like, no, I don't want to play Age of Sigmar. Like, I just...
Or do you?
No. No, stop it. You can't make me. Well, you could make me. But I'm hoping you won't. Let's see. Other shows and games that have inspired me to... or motivated me to go after certain minis. That's a tough one. Like, there's just so many games that tie into, like, different themes for movies, right? Like, every time you see a sci-fi movie, you know, like, with big robots and stuff, it makes me want to start working on Knights or Titans. You know, because I do have a bunch of those that are half-painted or whatever. Or, like, so it's easy to get suckered in. It's even easy to buy more stuff they don't need. Like, I watch a mecha anime, next thing I know I want to play Heavy Gear. Because I'm some strange sort of masochist. Not because the game is bad, but because putting those models together is horrible.
Yeah, the assembly part was horrible.
They have some pretty cool looking models. But they were pretty much unanimously horrible. And, you know, now they're all plastics and stuff, and that's great. But I have literally hundreds of metal models for Heavy Gear. Probably hundreds. Or at least 800. I'm not rebuying. I think we mentioned this before where I had watched G.I. Joe and then I went out and I bought a bunch of Infinity Ariadna models.
Yes.
To make like a G.I. Joe themed team because every model looked different from a different part of the military from a different nation. And I was like, this is going to be so sweet. And then I played the game like, wow, I can't. I just can't. And it's not that Infinity is bad. It's just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I was super crunchy, like the ultra minutia, you know, and I wanted to, like, play something to make my opponents miserable, like Yom, then I really think Infinity would appeal to me. But, You almost kept a straight face, Antoine. But yeah, it's just not my cup of tea. I think it's probably a super good game, but I think you really have to devote a lot of time to it because there's so many rules and so many intricate like interactions.
Yeah.
And it might be better in the new version. I hear grenades don't scatter across the table for no apparent reason if you drop them on the ground at your feet. So that's already an improvement.
Yes, it is.
Because nothing was funnier / sucked more than you putting a grenade down at your feet and having it bounce backwards, you know, 25 feet into your lines. But why?
But why?
Or throwing a grenade over a wall and having it bounce back at you. I learned quickly not to use grenades in that game. Because with my luck, I killed myself more than anyone else. Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's nothing else that really jumps to the top of my head, but I'm super influenceable.
Yeah, by movies and shows.
I watch stuff and then it like gets my brain going, and I start thinking this. Oh, I could paint this color scheme, you know? Like you watch something like Pacific Rim, right?
Yeah,
and then you're not watching it for the quality movie content. You're watching it for the cool giant robots. And then you sit there and you go, wow, that'd be a cool game. Like, oh, wait, there is a game. Oh, wait, I could buy it right now. Oh, it's not even that expensive.
Yeah, or you could... That makes me think about Monster Apocalypse. Like, all well, those
that's what I'm saying, right? Like,
but there's a Pacific Rim game, too.
Oh, I wouldn't buy that. No. Yeah, I remember when that came out and we talked about it on the new show and we were kind of like,
Yeah.
Yeah, totally not going to go look at Monster Apocalypse right now. See, it's working. We just talked about it.
Yeah. Now, I can think of maybe two more. The one won't happen. That's almost a good thing. I don't watch a lot of TV or movies. It takes me a lot of time to do it. So, but recently we've watched, like, I think in the last 3 months, we've watched half of the MCU movies to catch up for Avengers, the last two Avengers, the previous one and Endgame's coming out.
Right.
So I skipped on getting the Marvel miniature game that was out by, what's their name? Same guys who do
Batman. Night Models.
Night Models, yeah. And I was thinking about it. And I put it off, and then they closed the license, and models became super costly to get. But since then, my interest in it has just gone up. But the miniatures are so hard to find. But that's one thing. Like you mentioned Pulp City. I find Pulp City more low level. So when I watch, like if I watch Watchmen. Or more human level. Sure, the feel, the theme is not the same. Like Watchmen is super dark. I wouldn't associate it to Pulp City, but the power level of the character in it fits more. I find. But the watching the Winter Soldier or all those movies we've watched in the last few months, that just makes the me missing out on the Marvel Miniature game even worse. So I'm sad I didn't get to try it. And there's the DC one that works on the same rule set, but I just don't have the same interest in the DC universe than I have for the Marvel one. So
yeah, DC universe seems to do better street level stuff, I find.
Yeah.
Like the Batman stuff of the world. Whereas Marvel tends to do the better superpowered like heroes.
Like and, I wouldn't play Batman. I wouldn't play DC DCU game.
Well, the problem with the DCU is it seems like most of the characters have been designed around stalling until Superman can show up. Like if you ever watch any of the Justice League cartoons,
I've not.
Well, they're pretty entertaining actually. Like the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited from like 15 years ago or whatever. But a lot of the Justice League comics and cartoons, like. If Superman is anywhere on planet, it's really all about buying time for Superman to get there. And you see it like over and over and over again. And it's just because like the DC people, the writers, they have to find a way to deal with him because he's so powerful that, like, you know, if he's around, well, then, well, he'll just stop you because he's Superman.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to come up with, like, some sort of weird trap device excuse for why Superman can't just stop you because he's Superman. And we even saw that. It's funny because, you know, in the Justice League movie, the live action movie they did, it's the same thing, right? The good guys are all there to buy time for Superman to get there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind that necessarily, but it does get kind of repetitive. Now, in Marvel, you know, Marvel's got the superpowered guys too, but no one is quite so universally all powerful.
Yeah.
As Superman. I mean, you got Spider-Man, you know, it's kind of like the Mary Sue of the Marvel Universe, where he can beat anyone just because he's Spider-Man. But at least on paper, you don't know that. Whereas Superman, it's just assumed that Superman is the strongest, the toughest, the fastest, the smartest, the...
And there's no question to it.
You know.
Yeah. So. The other thing I had in mind is the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yeah, that's, yeah, Blood and Plunder and all these other, yeah.
Yeah, or just, like, I've been talking about doing a custom Goblin Pirate scenario. Well,
for years you've talked about that.
And that always come up every time we talk. I see the movie, or see one of those movies. It's just, oh, I should finish that, and I should work on that board, and I just want to do a generic, like, Pirate Island board, or at least a Colonial City board, and add it as a generic place for every game. For the Goblin Invasion, for Blood and Plunder, for Freebooter Fates, for Cutlass, whatever we decide to play. But that, I love pirates so much that I should finish that project.
I don't think I realize how much you love pirates. I'm not criticizing, it's okay.
Yeah.
I just don't think I realize the scope of your pirate love.
But I'm not into, like, historical pirates, so that's why I didn't get into Blood and Plunder. But, like, I like the
not into the high
adventure style of it.
Yeah, yeah, the Pirates of the Caribbean style pirates.
I get you.
So, sidetrack a little bit. If we were to play Monster Apocalypse, what faction would you want to play?
Oh, when I played before, I played Terrazors and Protectors.
So funny.
The Guard and Terrazors.
That's so funny. I saw the Terrazors and I'm like, that's so Antoine's faction.
I stopped just when they got the giant apes out. I was going to buy into them.
Yeah, that's totally yours. No doubt about it.
We stopped playing just as that series came out.
Well, that may have saved you a lot of money. So,
yep.
Maybe it's a good thing. All right, we are rambling. Always. So let's cut into our main topic there and say that we're easily influenced.
Yeah. And what influenced you, listeners? Is there any specific shows or specific movie that makes you want to play one game or another? Even if it's a tie-in for a license, like watching Games of Thrones making you want to play the Games of Thrones miniature game, or the inverse for me. Like, getting the game at Ripken is making me want to finally watch the show. So, is there anything like that for you? Comment on Twitter or
Facebook
or even YouTube for the few people who do listen to the show on that. So.
Yeah, you know, people who watch our show on YouTube make me kind of chuckle since there's no video.
Yeah, but there's a way to do audio only on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's probably why they do it. I have no idea why you would do that if it's not the case, because it stops. YouTube doesn't stay open when you close your application. So you can't use it as a podcatcher.
Unless you've got premium. That. If you've got premium, you can do it. But I don't know if you can get premium in Canada. But if we did ever decide to broadcast the video for our podcast, I would totally be making duck faces the whole time when you were talking. I would totally be doing that with, like, the, you know, the lips all puckered up and, like, the...
We could, but they would be looking a lot often because we hobby at the top of our face looking down at our miniatures while painting.
Or we well, would be kind of shooting. I can do like I'm doing now. I could just be like making faces while, you know.
Yeah, but you're not really a being while you're doing that.
But I would look awesome.
Amazing. Sure. We could arrange our position to be able to be seen by the camera.
That's true. Put the camera down. It'll really highlight our jowls. Yeah. It's like, I didn't know Paul had four chins. Damn, not quite that fat. But
no, it's hidden by the beer.
Yeah, we're approaching critical mass. Okay. So that's food for thought going forward. Let's talk some news.
Okay, so we'll go fast. First one I want to mention, because it's going to close soon, is Animal Adventures Tales of Cats and Catacombs. If people remember, there was a Dungeon and Doggies ran last year for some dogs miniatures for role-playing games, or just for paintings. They have been shipping recently, and people have started painting. We see samples up. So now they are raising the sister campaign to that previous one for people who like cats. There's only, by the time we release, about 5 days left to go. So you should check it out. It's super successful, 10 times over its goals. I find they have a bit less personality, but I'm less of a cat person. So that might be why.
They are pretty cool, though. I'm looking at them now, and I'm like, and it's super cheap. It's like $35 US for, what, like 14 models or something?
Oh, yeah, the price is super good. That's for sure.
For 12 models.
Yeah.
And then there's a Kickstarter exclusive.
Yeah, and it comes with a RPG adventure, too.
And a rules companion for 5th Ed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Oh, it's really worth it. If you're into cats and D&D, jump on it. For sure.
I was going to make a crude joke, but I won't. So yeah, they're looking for 34,000. Okay, hold on. Let me get this in British pounds. The source income, the source currency. So they had a goal of 20,000 pounds. They're 200,000 pounds. So yeah, they've done good. Uh oh, I may have lost Antoine. No, Antoine's still there.
Yeah, there was some cut, but I'm back. Second one I want to mention, and that's going to be the last one for this week, is okay. The new Batman. We were talking about superheroes and Batman, so let's talk about the new edition. Batman miniature game, the Dark Knight Rises game box. It's not a new edition of the game, but it's a new starter for people who want to get into it. You have a Batman crew and a Bane crew. All the new Risen miniatures, you get the rules, dice, character cards, and two cardboard pre-painted or pre-printed plastic, plastic card. They're card terrain. And they look good. And you even have some vehicles and
yeah, you get the tumbler and the bat pod. So,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good starter. It's not cheap. It's, £95.
So,
but there's a ton of stuff into it.
Yeah, it's almost 200 Canadian, right? It's like 180 Canadian.
Yeah, something like that. Just a bit under. I think it's 170, maybe.
But the contents do look really cool. It's yeah. It's a lot of nice models. I mean, night models have always been super nice.
165, so very close to it. A you have I 12 miniatures, 6 per side.
Yeah, unfortunately, Batman has some police officers.
Well, no, 5 per side plus the 2 vehicles.
Like, not that there's anything wrong with police officers, but it's not as exciting as, like, say, Robins or...
No, but he comes with Catwoman, so it's not just police officers for the star. So at least you have another character. Batman, Catwoman, and 3 cops. And for,
yeah, that's true.
Bane, you have Bane, Miranda Tate, Barsad, and 2 generic mercenaries. Come with templates and counters and everything you need for the game. So a pretty good way to get into the game if you want it.
Yeah, that's definitely a good intro. I was going to try to do the Bane voice from the movie, but even I can't do a voice that bad.
Yeah, so... Right. That's it for the news this week.
All right, Antoine. Well, as always, it was awesome doing a show with you. I hope I kept you entertained.
Yeah.
Hopefully our listeners were moderately entertained by overtired Paul.
Yeah. I mostly hope that our listeners were entertained.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's nice to have listeners that actually listen.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's going to be an interesting topic for people to reply to the show.
Yeah, and to have discussions with their own groups about it, because yep. I think it's true of a lot of gamers, right? We're easily influenced in a lot of ways. And I'm sure we're not the only ones that have this problem where we see something and then it makes us run after miniatures for a similar theme.
Yeah, one we've not mentioned, but the 7TV game is kind of a game where you play TV shows, like pulp TV shows.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay.
No, so it's a British game, but you play like a TV set or a set from a TV show happening. So for people who are into like old school TV, there's so many ways to have scenarios come from inspiration you see online or you see on TV. That I'm not into pulp, and that's the only reason I've not bought into that game set, because I find the idea so cool. So that's probably one thing other people could look into. But let us know. It's your time to entertain us.
The roles are reversed.
Yeah.
All right, Antoine. I will chat with you this week, I'm sure. And I'll see you on the next podcast.
Yep, for sure. So have a good week, Paul.
And bye, bye, everyone.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.